Hello, everybody, and welcome to our service of Holy Communion. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking particularly about crossroads, about those points of decision in our lives, and particularly that decision to consider Jesus as Lord of our lives. We have a few notices for the week that is to come. On Wednesday evening, our Alpha course continues at 8 o'clock over Zoom. And on Thursday evening, as we continue our series of short midweek Lenten services, this week's theme is some tips for spiritual health during lockdown. That's the theme of our Lenten service this Thursday evening. Both of the previous services are available on the parish YouTube channel. If you haven't had the opportunity and you'd like to take a look at them there, they're available to all. And our service next Sunday is an online service of morning prayer. As we come together to worship God in our service of Holy Communion, our opening hymn is the hymn, "We Love the Place, O God." Our service today is the service of Holy Communion, and we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our special collect prayer for today's service, the second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Here ends our Old Testament reading. Hear the words of the Gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to St. Mark in the 8th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We join together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now, as we prepare in a few moments' time to draw close to God's holy table, we hear the hymn, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I had an interesting conversation recently with someone who had made a big decision about changing their career during lockdown. And while he had done very well at his first career, he began to struggle with the antisocial hours that came with it. And he made a decision and he sought to achieve a better work-life balance. And even if that meant taking a financial hit, he seemed to be very content and very happy with his decision and with his new life in his new career. It gave him more time to spend with his fiancée, more time to spend with his family, and he felt that he was in a better place. And it takes a lot of courage, I think, to move out of secure employment and to take a change in direction. I saw an interview recently with an actress on a chat show, and she had worked for many years as a nurse. And she'd always had an interest in amateur dramatics, and she volunteered to take part as an extra in a film that was being filmed in Ireland. And that evening after that, the filming was over, where she had this role as an extra, she got into conversation with the director at her local pub. And he recognized something within her, and he invited her to come over to London and to audition for a part. And not only was she successful in that audition, but she has subsequently received BAFTA nominations for her roles in a number of dramas. And again, that led her to pursue a new career and a new direction. But it all seemed to hinge on that very important conversation that she had with the director that evening after her opportunity as an extra. Many people talk about pivotal moments in their lives. They come perhaps to a crossroads, and they take a course of action that seems to determine the rest of their lives. And many Bible commentators describe today's gospel reading as being such a key moment in the gospels. It is that moment when Peter recognizes for the first time who Jesus really is, and he declares it publicly. And it's also the moment when despite this recognition, the understanding of what all that actually means for his life still needs to be worked out for Peter. And it is in this part of the gospel that Jesus says some really important things to those who might want to follow him. And if you're tuning into the service today, and you are perhaps one of those people who are as yet undecided about who Jesus is, well, maybe today could be a pivotal day for the rest of your life also. In this section of Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, Jesus tells us two things. First of all, he tells us that he's a king going to a cross. And secondly, he tells us that if you want to follow me, you have got to come to the cross too. And the conversation that Jesus has with Peter takes place after two miracles, where Jesus has fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few small fish, and he's also healed a man who was blind. And throughout the Gospels, through miracles and conversations, we see that Jesus is very often seeking to open people's spiritual eyes to see who he really is. And of course, he reveals that he's no ordinary man. He's God in human form, fully human and fully divine. And as people debate about who he is, he asks them all in this encounter in Mark chapter 8, this very direct question. And it's a really important question. He says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And that's, as I said, a really important question for us to consider for ourselves too. And if we see for the very first time that Jesus has come to be the King of our lives, to make a living relationship with God possible for us through his death and resurrection, if we see that Jesus has come to share his life with a disbelieving world, even through very ordinary people like you and me, well then, really in an instant, everything changes. And the problem for Peter was that Jesus then started speaking about the suffering that lay ahead for the Messiah. And in the particular understanding that Peter had of Messiahship, his understanding was always that would be garlanded with success and victory and triumph. And as he challenged what Jesus said must happen, Peter was really reacting in a way that was very consistent with the Jewish understanding and expectation of the Messiah. And I guess in his own impetuous way, Peter was demanding that Jesus should fulfill our human and often worldly expectations of what he should be and what he should do. And of course, we're a bit like that today as well. As we hear perhaps of terrible things like the atrocities committed against Christians in different contexts around the world, maybe we expect Jesus somehow to ride in on a white horse and to crush those who persecute Christian believers. Or maybe we are here listening to this service and we know someone who's unwell and we long for their healing. And yet it has to be on our terms or in our timing if we are to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And that's why I think Jesus gets so cross with Peter in his rebuke. Because sometimes those who love us most and who want what they believe is best for us are inclined to tempt us away from following Jesus wholeheartedly. Because they want us to be safe, they want us to be secure and comfortable. And yet Jesus insists that following him is not like that. It very often leads us in unexpected directions, and it requires everything that we are and everything that we have to be at his disposal. So it's certainly not a soft option today for any of us who decide to commit ourselves afresh to his service, or indeed to make that decision to follow him for the first time. No one could ever accuse Jesus of asking people to follow him under false pretenses. There is no slick sales pitch, just the promise of challenging times, the need to deny yourself and to put him first. And if we're genuine about wanting this for ourselves, Jesus says really every decision that we ever make about money, about our job, about school, about work, it's no longer just about what suits me, but it's about asking, how can I best serve Christ in the course of action that I'm taking? And when we begin to emerge out of this pandemic eventually that has changed our world, an important question is, how can we as a church make Jesus known to those within and indeed around us in our local community? And how can all those who affiliate themselves to this worshipping community here in St. Finian's somehow show that our lifestyle, our organizations, our worship can reveal to others that Jesus is alive and that he's real and that he matters more than anything else on this earth? At the end, Jesus says a very funny thing happens. Whenever we forget about ourselves and we focus on him and serving him, he says, rather than losing out, we find that we discover what we've always really been looking for. So may our service today perhaps mark a pivotal moment in our understanding, and may God's Holy Spirit give us the courage to follow wholeheartedly without fear and indeed support one another on this wonderful journey of faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And today we pray for all who are exploring faith. We pray for those preparing for confirmation, and we pray for all those who are doing courses online or in churches, and we pray for all who feel that they are at a crossroads of faith. We ask that they would be given the courage to take that important step of faith, and that they too would find loving Christian communities that will support them on their journey. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, and today we pray for the COVID-19 vaccine to be made available to the poorer nations of the world. And so at this time we want to pray for richer and stronger nations to work together to make this possible and to ensure that all the world, including the poorest and the most vulnerable, are given access to this important life-saving vaccine. We want to pray for the political will and the resources to make it happen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially for those battling difficult health conditions at home in this period of restrictions, as we pray for those who care for them. We remember all suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's, for those who live with MND and MS. And we pray too for all who are suffering acutely with their mental health, and for the overstretched community services seeking to offer care and support and help to those in crisis situations. We also want to pray today for those who have been bereaved, as we remember especially the family and friends of Ray Fisher, whose funeral took place on Thursday. We pray for your comfort to surround them
in their great loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We take a quiet moment to bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to this service today, and we ask for God's healing presence, love, and strength to support them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. We do not presume
to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Our next hymn today is a new hymn to us, and we are using it with permission by the group City Alight. It's a hymn that reflects on the powerful and beautiful lengths that God went to open the way back for us to friendship with him. What love may God. Thank you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us, therefore let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God,
for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for these holy mysteries given us by our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we receive your grace and are assured of your love, which is through him, now and forever. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today. And we also would just finally like to remind you of the daily series of devotions that are available on the church website and on the Facebook page that have been prepared by our bishop, by Bishop David, on the book of Nehemiah. And if you're looking for devotional resources during Lent, do please take a look at those resources and other resources that are there for your benefit. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, and to take up your cross and follow him. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn is that challenging invitation to all of us to follow the way of Jesus in our daily lives. Take up thy cross, the Saviour said.